Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Lech Lecha, the 12th day of the month of Cheshvan. Here we are, it's Erev Shabbos, just a few hours away from Shabbos, certainly looking forward. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email to sponsor future programs, and we truly appreciate everyone's support. Please visit ou.org/call, that's ou.org/call, and please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Sunday's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Nathanael Braun, Congregation Brothers of Israel in Long Branch, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Braun slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. They'll be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Braun to learn more about his wonderful community in Long Branch. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Sunday's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Braun.
Rabbi Herman, thank you so much for the invitation, and certainly a thank you to the OU for bringing us together both in Torah learning and prayer in tefillah. One of the questions that I think about most often, and I really have for the last 6 months, is what messages will we take with us as we look forward to emerging into a post-COVID world? There are certainly many things that we've learned, things we've become more sensitive to, spiritually, religiously, emotionally. Will we take those with us, incorporate them into our new normal, as it were, or do we simply revert back to who we were beforehand? And to kind of put that in focus, I just want to share a thought from Parshat Lech Lecha from this morning, from this Shabbos' Torah portion. We're told by Yikach Avram et Sarai Ishto ve'et Lot ben Achiv that Avram on his journey to the land of Israel, to Eretz Yisrael, takes his wife and he takes Lot. He takes all of the property, all of his belongings, ve'et ha'nefesh asher asu b'charan, the souls that they made in Haran. And the Medrash teaches us that Abraham was megayer et hanashim, that Abraham converted the men, he drew them closer to God. Sarah megayer et hanashim, that Sarah would do the same with the women, she would teach them and inspire them and bring them closer to Hashem. But what happens to these people? What happens to the nefesh asher asu b'charan? They're never heard from again. Did they stay with Abram and Sarah? Did they leave? Right, with a change in circumstance as they move to Israel, do they simply fall away? Or do they stick with it? Do they take the messages they learned in Haran and incorporate them into their new life in the land of Israel? As with many things we find in argument, the Meshech Chachma, the great Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, and Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of America's Harav, they both argue that the moment they got to Eretz Yisrael, these people simply fell away, gone never to be heard from again. Whatever worked for them in Haran, whatever inspiration they drew, it was short-term and short-lived, and it was over as they got to the land of Israel. Rabbeinu Bechaya offers a middle position. Rabbeinu Bechaya suggests that it lasted for a little while, and then Yitzchak had to teach them again. Right? He writes that the story of the Be'erot, of the wells that were filled in and that Yitzchak redigs, he argues B'derech Trush is referring to Yitzchak teaching these people, right? The nefesh, the souls that Abraham and Sarah converted in Haran have to be retaught because those lessons were fleeting and needed emphasis. The Rambam actually writes that they stayed with Abram, they learned the messages, they kept the messages, and they became part of the Jewish people. They went down to Egypt, with Yaakov Avinu, right, with Jacob, our patriarch, and they became simply became part of Klal Yisrael, part of the Jewish people. But that question, right, we learn things, we're inspired, and then we change our circumstances. Do we keep the inspiration? Do we keep the lessons? Or do we simply revert back to who we were before? I think we certainly have become very sensitive to many things during COVID. What are our true values? Our true values are our health, our family, our religion, our ability to be in shul, to daven, to come together. Right? Those are so much more important than the kiddush or how we're dressed or all of those other external trappings which were part of our shul life. When you go to a simcha, joyous occasion, right, are we happy to be there? Are we happy for the bar mitzvah, the bat mitzvah, boy or girl, for the couple getting married? Or are we more interested in the smorgasbord? Right? COVID has helped us focus in on what is truly important. Our relationship to Hashem, the things that we cry out for, that we daven for. It certainly has helped in many ways, right, make us into more spiritual, more religiously focused people. And the question is, will we keep that with us, right, as we look forward, please God, very soon, to getting out of our COVID world? Will we keep those messages? And I hope, and I daven, and I believe that we are Maimonidean Jews in so many things, and we should be so in this respect as well. Let us quickly emerge from living under the cloud of this pandemic, but let's bring with us all of the messages that we've learned, that we appreciate shul for davening, that if we have our health and we have a roof over our heads and food on our table and our family as well, we are fabulously blessed. And that when we have smachot, we're there for the right reasons. Let's take all of those lessons with us. Let's please God we come back to a more normal life. Thank you so much. Okay, so we will now proceed to recitation of Psalms, to our reading of Tehillim. First is Mizmor Chaf Gimel, is the 23rd chapter of Psalms. Mizmor le David, Adonai ro'i lo echsar, bino deshe yar bitzeni almei menuchot yinahaleni, nafshi is shovev, yancheni b'magle tzedek l'ma'an shemo, gam ki elech b'geitz al mavet, lo ira ra ki ata imadi, shiftecha u'mishantecha, hema yinachamuni, Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan neged zorirai, dishanta vashemen roshi kosi revaya. Ach tov vachesed yudufuni kol yemei chayai, vishavti bebeit Adonai leorech yamim. Psalm 121, Kapitel Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir lamaalot, esayinai leharim me'ayin yavo ezri, Ezri me'im Adonai, oseh shamayim va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomrecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzelcha, al yad yiminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, v'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzecha uvoecha me'ata v'ad olam. And lastly, Kapitel Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir ha'ma'alot mima'am makim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima bekoli, tiena uznecha kashuvot lekol tachanunai. Ima vonot tishmor ya, Adonai miya amod. Ki imcha haslicha l'ma'an tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kivta nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai. Ki im Adonai achesed v'harbe imo fidut. V'hu yifte et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Okay, we'll now recite the Mishaberach for Cholim, on the prayer on behalf of those who are ill. Mishaberach Avotenu, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, Uyivarech, Yirafe, Tacholim. Ba'avur shibli neder niten tzedakah ba'avuram b'schar zeh kadosh baruch hu yimaleh rachamim aleihem v'hachlimam v'lerapotam lachzikam l'achyotam v'yishlach lahem mehevu refuah shlema min ha'shamayim v'chol ebereim v'gideim b'toch sha'ar cholei Yisrael refuat ha'nefesh, refuat ha'guf v'nomar amen. Conclude with Achenu. Achenu kol Beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara v'ashivya, ha'umdim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotziem mitzara lirvacha, u'me'afela le'ora, u'mishibu le'gu'la, hashta ba'agala bizman kariv, v'nomar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Braun. As we transition into the next segment of our call, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
So Baruch Hashem, we are doing well. We had, as many other communities did, we suffered initially at the beginning some very tragic losses. But since then, we've Baruch Hashem, we have been relatively healthy as a community. My family, thank God, also is very good. I have two boys in Israel. One Shana Bet in Gush and one in Sayeret Golani serving in Sahal in the north. I have a daughter in college here and three kids at home, and Baruch Hashem, no complaints.
Unbelievable. We're certainly sorry to hear of the losses that your community experienced in the beginning, but are grateful for where things are now. And I want to express my karas hatov and the kol hakavod for your son who's serving in Sahal. So to get us started, for our listeners who might not be as familiar with your community, if you could spend some time with us and share with us really a brief overview of the shul and the community in general.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Our shul is actually 124 years old. It was incorporated way back when. It's for people who are not familiar, we tell them that we live near Deal. And that gives them at least a perspective of where we are on the map. Long Branch is really in that very same area on the Jersey Shore. And we're, close enough to New York, to, North Jersey, to have kind of a larger city feel. But we have, I think, also a sense of an out-of-town community, a tightness, a closeness that maybe you don't find in some of the larger communities. And thankfully, to our lovely Syrian neighbors, we have infrastructure like a large Jewish community. We have, there's five mikvahs, there's, restaurants, steakhouses, butcher shops, yeshivos, kolalim. So we feel it's a fabulous mix of both. Where you have, it's maybe 240 member unit families in the shul. So we know everybody knows each other, but we have all of the amenities and all the benefits of really a larger Jewish community, and, close enough to the city to be a large city and far enough away to feel like you're a little bit out of town. So that's how we describe it. We have really a range of people in the community from young to old. We have two different locations. We have the shul that was built, it was actually the third building in our history. It was built in the 70s. That's more of a family shul that's year-round. We also are actually in the middle of construction of a new building on the ocean, or very close to the ocean, where we have a very, very strong and growing summer community. We draw from many, many communities in North Jersey, Middlesex, from New York even, So there's a very strong summer community. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to retire, to spend time. So that's, I think, in a nutshell, that's what we have going on down here.
Amazing. It's exhilarating to hear talk of growth, especially during these times, and for construction, for building and growing to be happening during the coronavirus. It's something special to hear. I live in South Florida in Boca Raton, so you kind of get the opposite of us. We get many of these snowbirds and snowflakes who will come down here during the winter, and you get it in the opposite way, those who will come out to Long Branch during the summer. No, could be that there some of them are many of the same people.
We definitely have some of the same people. Some of your snowbirds are my summer people, absolutely. But I think that the growth is very inspiring, especially in difficult times, to see that we're building towards a future, and to see that people are, you know, looking to the future and willing to participate in building even during times that are tough is something that, you know, it's inspiring. It really is.
It is. It is. Now, I have to ask, is there terminology for those who come out to Long Branch during the summer? We'll call them snowbirds for the winter, but is there a lingo for those who come to your area for the summer?
So not a specific lingo. The only difference will be in, you know, what membership tier they might want to choose to participate in. But short of that, no, this is it's also somewhat new. You know, if you came here 20 years ago, there were maybe 15 guys in the summer for a Shabbos. But it's, I guess we've been found out. You know, you come, it's by the ocean. It's not that far. There's tremendous infrastructure, especially in the summer. We have visitors from, you know, to the hotels in the area, from really the entire tri-state area. They, you know, they swing into shul, but it's, I guess it's kind of put us on the map, and you know, we're rolling with it. So, but it really is fabulous.
Yeah, and year round too, because I have a brother who actually lives in Teaneck but works in Deal, who does that drive every day back and forth, and the going against traffic. It's really not a bad drive at all. So as you have, I think you articulated it really well, in that the community has all of the amenities that the broader Sparta community has, while still feeling like a small town community. But you're also not that out there. You're not that far away from
Right. No, I can drive to the city. Yeah. You know, I can drive into the city. You can take the train. Pre-COVID, they were working on a ferry, which we hope will come through from Pier Village. And I just put together who your brother is, because he works at one of our local schools. There you go.
That's right. Well, not too many spell Herman the way that we do. And as a kid, I always thought, what's this extra R and N doing in the last name? But now it's distinct, and it actually stands out.
And it just clicked. Well, Dr. Danielle Herman, absolutely.
There it is, Dr. Danielle Herman. So I'll let him know he got a shout-out on today's call. I know my parents are listening, so they're shutting off us right now.
Absolutely.
Anyway, last question, and it kind of alludes to what you mentioned a little bit earlier. With the world changing so much during this pandemic, change is and really will be everywhere. What communal changes do you anticipate for your community and really for the broader Jewish community for now and even in your term, hopefully soon, in a post-COVID-19 world?
So that's a big question. The one thing that I have learned, that I really want to take, one of the lessons for me that I want to take with me in our, not just in my personal life, but in our shul life, is how important it is to reach out and connect to people. You know, not just, I mean, Zoom has certainly been helpful, but we've done a lot of things just to try and connect, keep ourselves connected to people, whether it being, you know, every shul member gets called, deliveries, but the focus on not just waiting for people to come into shul to be able to interact with them, but actually actively outreach and try and touch every member of our community, and how much that's appreciated by people. I certainly didn't anticipate, even as I undertook some of the projects that we did, I was blown away by how much simply reaching out and trying to connect to people, you know, in a frenetic and crazy world, sometimes that gets lost. We're running all over the place. Everyone's so busy. We've had an opportunity to reset, to pause and to think. And I hope I hope we don't lose that. I hope that becomes part of our communal identity and existence and priority, even when we return to a more frenetic pace or, please God, soon a post-COVID world. But that sense of togetherness, the sense of the importance of reaching out and connecting to people, to me, that has been one of the great lessons in the COVID, in my rabbinate, in the shul, and I very much hope that we can continue that as we definitely look forward to a post-COVID world.
Amen. It's a great point, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we should see those days very, very soon. Rabbi Braun, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us a picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered letova for good. May the Rabbono Shel Olam, the Master of the World, speedily please bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again on Sunday at 1 p.m. And don't forget, change your clocks. Motzei Shabbos. Nowadays, most of these clocks are automated, automatic, your car and everything. But for those that aren't, reminder, Motzei Shabbos, change your clock. We'll be joined Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi David Schwartz of Shaarei Tefila in Providence, Rhode Island. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, restful, meaningful, beautiful, and safe Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.